Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. For more information, visit InvigorateHealthTN.com. Corey, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm good today, guys. How are you?
We are wonderful. Good. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Corey, obviously an impressive performance yesterday for the Titans. They get it done 34-3, back-to-back AFC South championships. For somebody who's covered this football team for a long time, what is the significance of winning this division twice in a row from your perspective?
Well, I mean, it's been a long time for this team. It's been 30 years. I was kind of talking about it some yesterday, and you know, you think about what, you know, it's been like for this team, you know, before they made the move to the AFC South, it was the AFC Central, where you always had to deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you had to deal with some really good Bengal teams through some of those stretches. And so they had good teams, but they were always, you know, an uphill battle. And then you move to the AFC South, and you go through the run of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. And so, you know, you have some good teams, but you have trouble doing it back-to-back again because you're running that gauntlet year after year. And now you're finally at a point where it's kind of your time. And, you know, you don't know how long it's going to last, but enjoy it because it took a long, long time to get here. I know there's a lot of different angles we can cover, but it's been an impressive season for this team on a lot of different fronts because they could have – I mean, they could have mailed it in. They could have looked at their injury situation and said, we'll get them next year, but they didn't. They kept playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's and that's what we – one of those angles, Corey, is, you know, you go through individual awards. You look right now, you got the division clinch, and you are a win over the Texans away from being the one seed. I mean, I've got to think Mike Vrabel has a really good chance – And I, to me, if they win this next game, because if they don't, of course, then you're talking about a team swept by the Texans. But if they win this next game, to me, he's got to be the clear favorite, unless you disagree with me on that.
No. I mean, if you followed me at all on social media yesterday, you saw I said it's hard to make a case that he is not the NFL coach of the year. He's done an outstanding job this year. 88 players? Are you kidding me? I mean – And I keep pointing, look at the skins on the wall. I mean, look at the teams they've beaten. There's no other team in the NFL that can boast a better winning resume as far as the teams they've beaten than the Titans. I know everybody loves to point out that they lost to the Texans and the Jets. Yes, they did. You know, we can point to that all day long. But they also beat the Rams. They beat the Colts twice. They beat the Bills. They beat the pants off the Chiefs. Okay, they beat team after team after team after team, and you know they did it. You know, half the time, you know, without some of their best players, most of the time without their very best player. I saw Dan Orlovsky tweaking out that Matt LaFleur was the coach of the year, followed by Nick Sirianni, and I was like, "What the heck is he watching? You're going to give a guy coach of the year because he won with Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I think I could go out and win 8 games with Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know anything. I mean, and then Nick Sirianni, they haven't beaten anybody. Look at their record. Look at who they've beaten. I mean, congratulations on saving their season. They haven't beaten anybody of significance. No one. And so, you know, to hold this thing together, and the thing I get back to with Vrabel was in the preseason, and I go back to that moment at the Falcons preseason game. Remember they beat the bricks off them in the first half, and then they came out in the second half, and they had a bad drive to start the second half. And he called everybody over to the bench, and he read them the riot act about playing to their standard. And that's what he's been preaching the whole time, is playing to their standard, playing to their standard. And you see the way they finished that game yesterday. You know, that's playing to their standard, regardless of what the score is and what the point is, and regardless of who is on the field. And so I think, you know, he's begun to make headway in that department of playing to a standard. And I look at this season, and there's only been one game where I feel like they've clearly been outplayed. Now, they played awful against the Jets, so don't get me wrong there. But they were clearly outplayed by Arizona week one. I mean, clearly outplayed. But their other losses with Pittsburgh and New England and even Houston, you go to those games and, you know, statistically, they dominated those games in a lot of areas. They just turned the football over. And when they don't turn the football over, they win. It's pretty cut and dry. I mean, yesterday was a really good example. The Dolphins had no shot in that game. There was never a point in that game where not only did the Dolphins not threaten to win, they never threatened to compete in that football game. You know, I know first 10 minutes they came out and they shut the Titans down offensively, but there was never a moment where I was scared that the Dolphins were even going to score a touchdown in that game. But so, you know, that's a long way of saying he's done a phenomenal job this year of establishing a culture of this team and keeping it in place through some incredible adversity. And then we can go on to the, you know, why we say nobody puts Vrabel in a corner. You know, nobody's got more upset victories than the Titans since Vrabel took over. I think the number's like 19 now. I mean, when things are at their worst, he's at his very best. And, you know, Matt LaFleur has won 13 games 3 years in a row. That is unbelievably awesome. Don't tell me how bad the AFC South is. I'm a Bears fan. I know how bad the NFC North is. and he's got Aaron Rodgers, all right? You know, that's like, shoot, I don't know. That's like congratulating for somebody for winning with, you know, LeBron and Kobe. Way to go.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, they ran for 270 against New England. They ran for over 200 against Pittsburgh, and they were right around 200 again yesterday against Miami, against a pretty good front that the Dolphins bring to the table. Yep. How in the world have they been able to run the ball this well without Derrick Henry?
Number one, it's an attitude that's who they are and that's what they're going to do. And I was on your show when you told me Derrick Henry was hurt, and you guys asked me, what do they do? And who's the guy I said they needed to go out and get? Deontay Foreman. Because he's 250 pounds and, you know, he can bring it. And he's been very good for them. But they haven't tried to change who they are. Their line is built to run the football and they continue to run the football. They stuck with it yesterday despite a slow start. And so that was important. And I think getting AJ Brown back on the field is hugely important to that as well, because he gives you that threat, you know, down the field. He only caught two passes yesterday, but I thought they were really big passes. For that team, they were chunk plays that moved the ball down the field, but they haven't lost who they are. And you know, there are a lot of guys who can carry the football. This guy that they found is, I think, one of the right guys for their team, because he's not Derrick Henry, he's like Derrick Henry. I liken him a lot to LeGarrette Blount. You know, he's about 250 pounds and he's got a burst. He's got a burst and he can wear teams out. You know, they rushed for, like you said, almost 200 yards three times without him. He's got three 100-yard games, you know, by himself. So, you know, they've continued to be who they are. That doesn't mean that Derrick Henry doesn't make it better, okay? But it means they can still run the ball without him.
So they can go into Houston, win that game in front of, I don't know, how many Texans fans are going to be at that game? About 8,000 Texans fans? Yeah, you know, 18, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and probably 5,000 Titans fans. They can win that game, be the one seed, and have a long break before playing again. And, of course, two home games to get the Super Bowl. So if you were Mike Vrabel this week, or you know, the Titans brass, and you knew Derrick Henry is all good, he's ready to come back, he's good, he can play, would you – play him at all this week, or would you say, you know what, how about another 3 weeks and then we'll see him in late January?
If he's good to go, if he is 100%, I absolutely play him. I mean, I don't run 30 times, but I want to get him back out of the field. You know, I don't want, you know, to me, I don't want his first game back to be in the playoffs if it doesn't have to be. But, you know, if you're not 100% then you hold him back. But, you know, if you're 100%, there's no reason not to play. It's not a hamstring. It's not a hamstring. You know, it's not a muscle pull. So if you think that thing is 100% healed, I think you're good to go. You know, you get him 8 to 12 carries, and you move on. This is neither here nor there, but I was thinking about it last night. This team has done so much to get here, and so many guys have been the next man up to fill in and step up and make plays for this team. How awful is it going to be for Vrabel and Robinson when they tell one of those backs, when Henry comes back, that they got to go?
Yeah.
I mean, that's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that you're going to get to the playoffs and you're going to tell Hilliard, McNichols, Foreman, you know, I would think it would be Hilliard at this point, not sure. You know, could be McNichols, but I mean, it'd be heartbreaking to tell one of those guys that they got to go.
No, it's pretty incredible the job that they've done to this point, for sure. Corey, last thing for you, big win for your Bears yesterday. Is Matt Nagy coming back?
Oh, come on, guys. Okay, look at this. I tweeted at John Burton yesterday, and I never got a response from him. John's a big Giants fan. Look, Joe Judge is awful. You know, if I had to pick between Matt Nagy and Joe Judge, I think I'd give Matt Nagy a 10-year deal, okay? Because Joe Judge is awful. And he continues to say these things about, well, things are good on the inside. I mean, come on. I know this in the NFL. When things are bad at the top, they're worse at the bottom, all right? So how are things at the top right now if they are this bad? They were down 29-3, all right? 29-3, and they had thrown 5 passes. Okay.
Impressive.
So they're getting the brakes beat off of them, and they just continue to hand the football off and just say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And look, I know Mike Glennon's awful. I do. But they're the ones who put themselves in this spot. That they rolled into the season with Danny Dimes, Mike Glennon, and Jake Fromm. I mean,
sign
the Bears
me up.
Have had some awful quarterback setups, but that ranks right there.
Pretty impressive stuff. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rexler. Corey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
All right, thank you. Hey, by the way, I've seen a lot of weird stuff here. I was here for Pac-Man and all that. Man, I'm glad Antonio Brown was never a Titan. Yeah.
Really glad everybody on the Titans kept their shoulder pads on throughout the game yesterday.
Well, you know, Vince did chuck his gear into the stands.
He did.
At least it was after the game, not
That's
during.
True.
And for a guy who alleges to have been, say he was too hurt to get back in the game, he was moving along pretty spryly as he was doing jumping jacks naked into the locker room.
Yes, he was.
He'd be a nice pickup for the Titans here for the playoffs.
Yeah, right? Just go get him. Why not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see the Titans fans tweet out, go get AB now.
Oh, pretty amazing stuff. Corey, appreciate you, brother.
All right. Congratulations on your Packers, Robbie. Joe,
Thank
good
you.
Luck in the draft.
Thank you. Corey Curtis brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. For more information, go to InvigorateHealthTN.com. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Referring a friend on FanDuel Sportsbook can be your ticket to Super Bowl 56. That's right. When you refer a friend on FanDuel Sportsbook, you'll be entered for a chance to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Super Bowl 56 for two. Don't miss FanDuel's biggest refer a friend offer ever. All you got to do is share your exclusive referral link right from the Sportsbook app. And once your friend places any bet of $10 or more, you'll both get $50 and you'll be entered into the Super Bowl sweepstakes. So if you or a friend have been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is so easy to use. They've got great odds boosts and specials every single day. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. I love betting a little Green Bay Packers football on the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and refer a friend for your chance to win a trip to Super Bowl 56 1-800-522-4242. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Referred players must wager $10 or more within 28 days after signing up. Bonus issued is site credit and it is non-withdrawable and expires after 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. No purchase necessary for the Super Bowl ticket promotion. Super Bowl promotion closes on January 9th, 2022. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
I don't know. I'm really at a loss of words right now. I'm just so thankful and blessed to be in this position. God is so good. You know, just being at home, it just used to, I guess I would be at home and I would just think to myself, like, man, I just want an opportunity. Somebody give me an opportunity and trust in me and just give me the opportunity. I just felt like I could go out there and just play my game and play well. And, you know, like I said before, unfortunately, you know, certain situations happened that led me here, but I'm very thankful to be here. And every time I step on that field, I just want to go out there and just give it my all and just show that, you know, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be in the league somewhere, you know what I mean? And just do what I can do, you know what I mean? So.
That was Titans running back Deontay Foreman after another big game yesterday against the Dolphins. What a game by Foreman yesterday. He looked, as you said, Joe, I mean, it was basically almost every time he got the ball, consistently running the ball well, just a pretty dominant force all day long for the Titans. They end up with 198 rushing yards as a team. But Deontay Foreman, another big game yesterday.
You know, continues to make me just not understand how he wasn't somewhere in this league. You know, how could that guy not have had a job somewhere? But that also shows you it's hard to at that position. I mean, there are good players who aren't in the league. Good for him for taking advantage of his opportunity. And same thing for Dontrell Hilliard. I mean, Deontay Foreman, we had sort of an idea of what he was based on last year when he had a little stretch with the Titans. But Dontrell Hilliard kind of out of nowhere. And Dontrell Hilliard is a home run hitter. You know, I mean, he can take it, which is what, as we move forward, it really is going to be interesting. I suspect Hilliard is the odd man out just because I think McNichols just has that trust. And in that role, you know, I think you know, the one sack they gave up yesterday was actually McNichols. He tried to cut Baker coming in and missed. And so, you know, it was a missed blitz pickup, but he also still knew who to block. You know, and that is critically important. And I don't think Foreman, I don't think there's even a discussion there, at least in my opinion. You don't know if Derrick Henry is going to come back and all of a sudden be able to just carry that workload for an entire game. To have sort of Derrick Henry light, maybe get half the work, could be very helpful for you.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Indy Ben texting in says, as much as I hate to say it because I find Vrabel very arrogant, he should be coach of the year. No team has pulled games out of their rear ends quite like the Titans have this year. Nice backhanded compliment from Indy Ben there.
Oh, Indy Ben. I guess that was kind of nice. That was kind of nice from Indy Ben. Well, I mean, shoot. I mean, my understanding is the Colts have the greatest GM of all time, the greatest coach of all time, the MVP.
Yeah.
So, and like, how that
the playoffs?
Yeah, how the heck are they 9-7? There's no way they're missing the playoffs, right?
I mean, they're going to beat Jacksonville. My God,
yeah.
Jacksonville was down 50-3 yesterday. The final score, I think, ended up being 50-10. An NFL game.
Well, that's because they missed Urban Meyer's ability to motivate a football team. You know, that's maybe true. Maybe they're regretting that move.
1-2-3 grind every day of the week, baby. Andrew from Dover texting in says, I say if Henry is ready to go, play him enough to get him over 1,000 yards and then rest him for the playoffs. This is coming from Andrew from Dover. What do you think of the situation the Titans are in now? It's win and you get the one seed, obviously. Derrick Henry, there have been some reports out there that he's working out, looks to be okay. Maybe, I guess, could be available this weekend against Houston. What do you do? How do you handle this if you're Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, and the Titans this week?
I disagree with Corey Curtis. I wouldn't play him because I understand. Look, I think he is 100% in terms of is the bone healed? You know, if he's out there running, then the answer is yes, as it should be. it would be peculiar. It would be outside of the norm for him to not be quote unquote 100%. But as doctors have said about this, you know, you still, like, time is still your friend in terms of not re-injuring it. Like, it's still better to wait another week and then a week. And it's, and ideally, injury like this, ideally take a few months, you know, just as a, I mean, you have a higher re-injury rate. This is the analytics of an injury. If you, the earlier you come back, even if you are at that point of yes, healed 100%, go. So to me, I'd wait. I would take advantage. I would say, look, you guys can go in and you guys have gotten the one seed and won a lot of big games without Derrick Henry here. You're running the ball really well. Go win this game. And then now you have all that time too before you have to put him into an NFL game with the full contact, but also with the cutting on that foot that just, it can't be exactly the same in practice or working out than it is in a game, right? It can't be.
Well, so
that's what I would do.
I would feel, I think, differently about that had the Titans not been able to run the ball as effectively as they have. I mean,
right?
They're running the ball for 200. They've run the ball for 200 yards or more three times since he's been out. Like, it's pretty incredible what they've been able to do. Like, you know, obviously this offense has had its struggles since Derrick Henry's not been in there. That's largely been due to the passing game, and as we've seen with AJ Brown back in there, it makes a pretty big difference to have number 11 back in there. I think I'd feel differently if they just were totally inept and they couldn't run the ball. Like, this is obviously, this is still a pretty big game. I mean, you could say this is like a playoff game for the Titans on Sunday, because if you win, basically it is like a playoff game. You don't have to play one the next week. So it's a big game for the Titans coming up this weekend. I just think Foreman's running the ball well. I think that the Titans are running the ball well as a team. So with that being said, unless you just are really confident that he's 100% ready to go, I'm not playing Derrick Henry this week. Now, there's also the flip side of this where, and I've seen this, not necessarily from people around here, but more from your analytics people, your national people. And it's, I mean, there's a fight about this in my Twitter mentions as we speak right now that I have nothing to do with. And I don't know how I got drug into this thing, but it's the idea that, okay, well, Derrick Henry's not really that great because the Titans have basically replaced his rushing output since he's been out of the lineup. Like, I get it. It's been really impressive what the Titans have been able to do running the ball. If you don't think that Derrick Henry coming back and being in the game would be just a game changer for this offense, and I don't really know what to tell you. I don't know what you've been watching.
Nah, I mean, I put that right on par with Cincinnati didn't belong. I mean, it's not thinking things through. Actually, I had someone come at me on Twitter. I was like, with the comment of, oh, see, this is why you don't pay a running back. I'm like, no, actually the Titans should have paid him and probably could have paid him more than they did. And the numbers are the numbers, but let's also, again, remember, talking about moving 11 people around a football field and devoting people to this or that as a defense because you're worried about this or that. Defenses are playing the Titans differently now than they did with Derrick Henry. And as a result, it has been harder to throw the football than it was with Derrick Henry. And so he produced at that level despite intense attention from defenses and with just an incredible – again, those numbers, and they are amazing that they've been able to run that well. It's spread out among a bunch of people. You're talking about one guy who is kind of single-handedly battering these defenses and helping the Titans win so many games in the fourth quarter. So it's just anybody who watches and follows the team closely, I don't think there's any confusion about that. It's outsiders who might be prone to coming up with that judgment. My advice is don't, because it's dumb.
Matt from Camden texting in says, no way I'm playing Henry this weekend. Why would you even risk him getting injured? He's a running back. He doesn't need to get here to be ready for the playoffs. That man will be ready to play when his time comes. This coming from Matt from Camden. I'm interested to see like what the breakdown is with Titans fans of how many Titans fans want Derrick Henry to play on Sunday and how many would just say, hey, why don't you just hold off till that first playoff game comes about?
So I'm going to go back to Dr. Kenneth Jung, guy I talked to shortly after he got hurt. He works at Cedars-Sinai in L.A. Here's a quote from him about this. Quote, this particular fracture, would I expect Henry to come all the way back from it? Yes, I would expect a full recovery. I would not look at this as a start of a downward spiral. A lot of players in the NFL and at pretty much every level of athletics have Jones fractures. But the tricky thing about this bone is that it's notorious for having slow healing or refracturing because of the blood supply to the bone, end quote. So, and Jung also said later, like, hey, ideally, off season, take all the time you can possibly take before coming back and putting a 6'3", 250-pound body on a foot on a tiny bone that you are cutting hard on the foot, ideally. They're not – I mean, I think it's obvious Derek Henry's going to try to come back. But to me, can you – if you can get 3 more weeks out of this, yes, yeah. Take the 3 more weeks.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. I was streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says, did Robbie get a new mic? His voice sounds 2 octaves higher than he normally does. Alternatively, he could have just hit puberty, or I'm still drunk from the holidays. This is coming from James in Nashville. Do I sound like I've got a higher voice today, Joe Rexroad?
I mean, all those things could be true, you know, potentially. I don't really – I'm not picking that up. Michelle?
No, I think you sound normal, Rob. So maybe they're just still drunk from the holidays. Maybe that's the conclusion.
Maybe so.
Time for a dry January.
Shout out to James. Appreciate your participation on the text line. Kenston texting in saying, I agree. Hold Derrick Henry out until you need him. This is the same guy that doesn't take reps in the preseason and starts game one and takes off. As long as he gets 2 weeks of practice or 2 weeks of good practice, he'll be good to go come playoff time.
Kenston also giving me crap on Twitter about the Colts. You know, people are all ready to jump all over the Colts because they lost yesterday. They're still dangerous, Kenston. I swear they're still dangerous. I don't want to make Indy Ben feel too good. But I still think the Colts are gonna have something to say in this postseason.
Oh, the Carson Wentz noise is pretty loud right now, though.
Yeah.
Pretty loud.
Well, look, it's not perfect. I don't think he's going to be an MVP candidate again in his career. But you could do a lot worse, too, couldn't you? I mean
– Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just – he wasn't good yesterday. He's had some bad weeks and some good weeks, but he has had some really good weeks and some big wins, including we just saw the way he played at Arizona last week, right? I mean, that win is why they're going to be in the playoffs. So, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have Carson Wentz.
Logan on the text line says, if you play Derrick Henry on Sunday and he gets hurt again, I feel like it would suck the life out of this team for the playoffs. It's coming from Logan on the text line.
That's actually an interesting way to look at it, and I agree. Wait as long as – look, if you can win, wait as long – we just talked about why it's worth waiting because, like, you just – the re-injury rate on this particular injury is high. And also, like, you should not need Derrick Henry to be, I mean, it'd be cool to have him out there and get 1,000 yards and what a fun time it would be, okay? But you don't need him to win this game. You really don't.
No.
Do you need him to ultimately win playoff games, high-pressure games, even in your stadium? Yeah, I would say he could make a big, big difference, even if it's, as a 10-12 carry guy, I think that there's an emotional component there. There's an intangible component, just his presence. But also I think there's a performance and there's an impact on the other team component to it. So, yeah, imagine if he does come back this week in a game you would win anyway. You should win anyway. And I know it's dangerous to say that about the Titans, but it's true.
You better calm down about Davis Mills. You better be ready to go.
Yeah, but imagine bringing Derrick Henry back for that, giving him a few carries to quote unquote get him get the rust off, and you get him hurt, And you could think, gosh, maybe a few more weeks, he wouldn't have gotten hurt again. Also, didn't need him for this game, and now he's gone. That is a downer of all downers.
Will from Nashville texting in says, no, he's right, Robbie. Your voice is higher today. I don't know what's going on there, man. Should I start talking like this? We should really get after it today.
It's time for a change. That's a Peter Brady reference. I don't know, man. Are you a late bloomer we didn't know about?
I don't know, man. I guess so. Logan texting in says, at least Robbie ate lip smacking. JK, love you, Joe. Crying, laughing face emoji. The lip smacking stuff's never going to go away.
I noticed it, Joe.
Really?
Well, only when you send me recordings. I was like editing it. I was like, I see what they're talking about.
Okay.
But I don't notice it in normal conversation.
What? That's so weird to me. I don't know what people are talking about.
Matt on the text line says, no matter how great the Titans played yesterday, one thing we can all agree will never happen again. Lindsay L. doing the national anthem. She sounded like a fourth grader learning their first song on guitar. I miss the national anthem, so I couldn't tell you what she sounded like at all.
A lot of people very upset with that. Well, no one's going to beat the kid from Kentucky who was there a couple weeks ago. You know, like they should just make him like the permanent anthem singer. I forget his name. I got to find it. He was amazing.
Chris texting in says, the voice does sound higher. Makes me think you were remote at home versus in the studio. Not bad or weird, just different. Maybe Porth messed with your mic before you left. I had no problem blaming this on Ryan Porth.
Ryan Porth going back to, hope you enjoy your crappy hockey team there, Porth.
Yeah.
Guys, Chicago today's his first great. Day. Today's his first day.
I know. First day at the score. Bears suck too, by the way.
Yeah, he put a picture up this morning. It's 6 degrees in Chicago right now. Looks like a whole lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It was not fun yesterday. He's going to be frozen.
It looks like good stuff in Chicago out there. It was pretty incredible to watch how everything kind of broke down yesterday. In a lot of ways, it was pretty much a perfect day for the Titans. The Colts lose. You win your game comfortably against the Dolphins. And then Cincinnati pulls it off against Kansas City. I got to watch some of the Cincinnati game. Most of my time was spent watching the Titans game. But when you have Ja'Marr Chase on your fantasy team, you're keeping kind of a close eye on what he was doing yesterday. That dude is unreal. 3 touchdowns for Ja'Marr Chase. And his first one, like he catches the ball. There are 4 Chiefs around him. It's like a 12-yard route. There are 4 Chiefs around him. And then he just makes 1 cutback move and just blows past everybody on the way to the end zone. That dude is a freak. Ja'Marr Chase was unreal yesterday.
Remember how mad people were they didn't get an offensive lineman instead of Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah.
Whew, boy, is he he's different, man. He's a different thing. And then 3rd and 27 late, it's just like, just throw one up to Ja'Marr Chase. He can do everything you need a great receiver to do. Like you said, that one cut and explode ability is incredible, but also he'll go high point the ball. He's physical. I mean, he's got everything. So, heck of a season for the Bengals. That's the only other team. That's the only other coach that to me, I cannot believe Dan Orlovsky said Nick Sirianni. Are you kidding me? Zach Taylor would be one coach that I would say, okay, you can have a conversation.
Well, the fact that Nick Sirianni's won like multiple games in the NFL is kind of a shocker to me. So I guess I understand putting him on the list.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair.
By the way, speaking of that, did you see like Jalen Hurts almost get killed yesterday by, the
railing
collapsing when he's walking off the field at the Washington football team?
Yeah, thank God no one got hurt there, apparently. But yeah, I mean, the railing collapsed and they all fell into the tunnel. That was cool of him. He like helped everybody up and was like hugging them and like, hey, you want to take a picture? Let's take a picture. We're together right now. That was pretty awesome of him. But yeah, how scary is that? Jeez. I mean, this is an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
By the way, on that front, the Titans, I will say, based on what that place looked like Thursday, I'd say the field exceeded expectations yesterday, given the rain, hail, sleet, snow, and how torn up it was. I mean, they did about as well as you could possibly hope, right?
Yeah, they resodded the field at midfield and both end zones as well. You know, I thought based on the conditions yesterday that people were just going to be falling down left and right. And look, there were some players who slipped yesterday, but it was not anywhere near as bad as I thought it could be heading into that game. So that's good.
From that perspective, just from a general football quality slash health perspective, everyone should be rooting for the Titans to beat the Texans, because then you have that extra week also for the field to get it ready for potentially, you know, two straight massive football games in Nashville.
Yep. We're going to hold off on the official Robbie Stanley victory parade until tomorrow for the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football Championship.
LeGoat!
LeGoat is down at the moment by 88 and has Deontay Johnson tonight. So barring a sensational performance from Deontay Johnson tonight, Robbie Stanley will be the inaugural Fantasy Football League champion.
What would Deontay Johnson have to do, like 8 touchdowns or something?
You need a lot.
8 touchdowns, about 350 yards, something like that. Yeah.
I'd probably do it. I'm feeling pretty confident about this one.
Congrats, Robbie.
Congrats, Rob. You deserved it.
Thanks.
Our team sucked. Yours was dominant.
I think I beat Joe, though, last week. But my team
did?
I think. Are you Nolensville Nables or Nobles or something?
No, I'm Nolensville Nigel Tufnell.
Yeah.
Yes, that is me. Darn it. I didn't even realize. I didn't do my lineup.
I stopped doing my lineup like week 8.
Just totally gave up.
Joe and I were just down for the count.
Oh, good stuff. When we come back, it is time for Joe Rexroad's 3 best and 3 worst performances yesterday by the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Everyone knows that mean, you know, F it. Jamar's down there somewhere. I'm going to just throw it up to him. He's going to make a play.
What a strategy from Joe Burrow. Just turn around and fire it up to Jamar Chase. Seemed to work out pretty well for him yesterday. Titans fans very happy to see it. Joe Burrow and the Bengals take down Kansas City, which leaves the door open for the Titans, if they can beat Houston coming up on Sunday, to capture the number one seat in the AFC. Pretty incredible, given everything that's going on this year. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe Rexroad, it is time for your 3 best and 3 worst Titans from yesterday. Let's start things off with the best, your number one best Titan from yesterday's performance against Miami.
Okay, real fast. Just, I have to quickly respond to Jared, who's trying to defend his sweaty Jared video about Carson Wentz, because he actually texted me and said, see, this is why. Remember my video? This is why. If they had a good QB, they'd win this division. Jared, you were celebrating like he was going to be atrocious. If Carson Wentz had performed like you thought he would, the Colts would be what? What would they be this year? 6-11? 5-12? Tell me who the Colts would have been that would have been better than Carson Wentz.
The only response I would have to that is, were they not willing to give up enough to get Matthew Stafford? That would be my question if I'm a Colts fan.
There you go. Sure. Stafford, or somehow, you know, get your guy out of Green Bay. Yeah. But I mean,
let's not talk about that.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. All right. So anyway, come on.
I don't want you wishing bad things on me. I'm trying to enjoy my number one overall NFC, and now you're taking my quarterback and putting him on the Colts. I don't appreciate it.
Live in the now. We don't need to look back or forward, and we don't need to revisit that sweaty Jared video.
Oh, wonderful stuff. I love it. Jared, your number one best Titan from yesterday.
I'll go Deontay Foreman. I just think it was a good – you're talking about 3 of the last 5 games he's rushed for 100 yards. Thought he had really great explosion. The one thing I will say is he did have another fumble, and man, you can't have that. You know, that's one of the things that Derrick Henry does not do. You can't do it. Yep. He kind of lucked out on the play, but man, he was awfully good. He's a legit NFL running back. I mean, I think we all know this now. The Titans, as a run-blocking offensive line, especially with that group together, really good, and they kind of share this, I guess. But what a find he's been, and no matter when Derrick Henry gets back, I think Deontay Foreman is a part of this team's offense moving forward.
He was running the ball hard yesterday. Very difficult to bring down out there for the Titans. Joe Rexroad, your number two best Titan against the Dolphins yesterday.
So I'm going to go David Long Jr. There's a lot of possibilities, you know, defensively. A lot of guys made plays. Really, you can go to every level and find a lot to like. But I just think he brings another element that is going to be important moving forward. He just has that knack. I mean, to me, he's kind of like – it's kind of like when Jayon Brown emerged and you realize, you know, he just has a feel for the game. You know, he's a really smart player and just is just around the ball. And some players have that, some don't. He has that, but he also has tremendous speed, and he's worked so hard on his coverage skills that he's a really good, versatile linebacker. And I like how he played. I think it's a huge deal to finally get him back. You're talking almost 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, since he last played with this hamstring thing. In Los Angeles, made a huge play there, ends up getting hurt in that game, but big deal for the Titans to have him back now.
Big deal to get him back. Interception yesterday as well for David Long Jr., your number three best Titan from yesterday against the Dolphins.
Number three, I'm going to go to Nico Autry. You know, he has just been a really important player, and I feel like he kind of sets a tone a lot of times early in games, as he did here. Sort of, you know, just make a dominant play early, get a quarterback to the ground or a big TFL, whatever it is. And he did it again in this game. He's got 9 sacks, ties his career high. He is the best offseason pickup for John Robinson. You know, Bud Dupree may yet, you know, turn out to be, Bud Dupree's not going to quote unquote earn that salary, but if Bud Dupree makes big plays in the playoffs, then again, what is it about? If Julio Jones makes big plays in the playoffs, what is it about? It's about that more than anything. But Nico Autry, I think clearly is the best pickup of the offseason, especially when you consider cost, relative to production. He's just been terrific and big part of why this team turned around.
He's been an absolute stud. I don't think there's any question about that. And he and Dupree and really the whole front right now playing very well. That's obviously something to feel great about if you're the Titans heading into the playoffs. All right, so Joe, there have been weeks where we have done this exercise where it has not been difficult to find your three worst Titans. I would imagine this one's pretty difficult based on the way the Titans played yesterday. Your three worst Titans from yesterday. Let's begin with number one.
Yeah, it's very tough actually. So, you know, you got to be creative sometimes. Number one, I will actually go with Julio Jones not being able to play. And again, I'm not casting blame on like the COVID. He's on the COVID list. Not going to speculate on that or anything. There were two other players on the COVID list as well, Jayon Brown, and I'm failing to remember the third. So a lot of the guys came off Saturday. Three didn't, including Julio Jones, but. No, it was a day. The offense ended up doing fine. Of course, they end up blowing out the Dolphins. All was well, but you're still talking about a passing game that needed something else. You know, you talk about you got a screenplay to Hilliard that goes for a big one. You got touchdowns of the two tight ends, right? And Antonio Brown with a couple big plays. Other than that, like Chester Rogers has 2 targets, 2 catches, 13 yards. Westbrook Akina, 2 targets, no catches. Someone else is needed. So I guess when I go worse, I'm saying here's a void that needs to be filled. And look, you can look at it the other way and say that's exciting that now there's this extra time for Julio Jones. Maybe he's finally going to be that guy. But of all the things that could break for the Titans here moving forward, I would think that's the one that I'm least optimistic about based on how he's performed.
Yep, and they certainly are going to need a number two option at wide receiver because right now, I mean, they really don't have one. I mean, Nick Westbrook-Akina has done a fine job this year, but he's not a number two option. So that's going to be something they got to figure out as they move forward here. Your number two worst Titan from yesterday.
So I'm going to go with the Michael Pruitt injury. Just kind of mars a great day. It was instantly obvious that it was, you know, that it was bad. And, you know, he was in a lot of pain. You know, whenever, like, especially players from the other team are, like, frantically calling out the trainer, you know, that it's a bad deal. The card immediately comes out and gets it. And, look, I mean, it's a big loss for the Titans. Even though, you know, obviously he was bouncing around and they waited to the last minute, from day one this year, he's been a really nice player for them, as he was before. He's a blocker. He makes big catches when they need it. And, you know, this tight end, we've kind of dismissed this tight end group as kind of just sort of, you know, replacement tight ends or just guys who were, you know, okay players. They should be reserves. But there have been three of them, you know. And Pruitt has been, I think, arguably the best all-around of them. And Swaim's had a good year, too. Certainly better year receiving than he's ever had. But that's a big loss for the Titans, you know, when they want to play a certain way. And it's just terrible for him, a guy who's had to fight, like a lot of these guys, to stay in the league. And now he has this opportunity, and he's not going to be able to be a part of this playoff run.
Your number three worst development from the Titans yesterday.
Yeah, I'm really struggling with this. You know, I couldn't come up with a third, so I'm taking submissions for a third one. You know,
it's
like
hard, man. They played well.
You know, they gave up some plays in the third quarter. You know, but even like even in some weeks when they play well on defense, there's someone like but Jenkins got picked on. You know, or
I got one for you.
Okay, give me one.
Amani Hooker had the easiest interception of all time, hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it. That's the only thing I can think of.
There's one.
I mean, he played fine other than that, but, I mean, it literally hit him right in the hands.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say, you know, something that's been a really interesting development, and it actually goes back to the first Kansas City game, and maybe we'll see this again. You know, the Dane Cruikshank specialist, he is the man-to-man tight end guy on third down.
Yeah,
And it's been worked out. Now, Gesicki did get him a few times in the second half. You know, so Gesicki's pretty good. So is Kelsey if he sees him again. But that's been a really interesting role that they've kind of carved out for him. I really like the creativity with that.
Yeah.
The Dolphins got him a few times. But I think Dane Cruikshank moving forward, you know, that's going to be, especially depending on the matchup in the first game, but it certainly, if it does turn out to be Chiefs-Titans, I mean, he did a tremendous job on Kelsey, being so physical with him off the line in that first game. And, you know, I'm sure the Chiefs would like another crack at that.
It was really nice to see the Titans take care of a team they should beat yesterday and really, really left no doubt from start to finish. I mean, we talked about it last week. I said it. There's a lot of paper tiger to that Dolphins team, and I think we found out kind of why that's the case yesterday. Yeah. But it was nice to see the Titans really just handle a team from start to finish in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just and I think what you want to see now is them do that to a bad team that everyone agrees they should roll in the game, because the Dolphins still came in with like, oh, 7 wins in a row, how good are they? And they're fighting for the playoffs. So, again, it's impressive from that perspective. I agree with Corey from earlier. They have the best wins in the NFL this year. Okay, so now go do that to a bad 4-12 football team that you're supposed to win and get the one seed and leave no doubt.
When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. When we come back, speaking of the Nashville Predators, we'll be joined by our friend Darren McFarland. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds as of late, their big win on Saturday against Chicago. Get his thoughts on the Titans winning the division for the second consecutive year in a row as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.